Praise the Lord. I enjoyed the singing here this morning.
Amen. Y'all don't judge me. I have my wife's Highland Cow cup up here. All mine was dirty. Amen. Praise the Lord. But if you got your Bibles with you, turn to Psalms chapter number 3. Amen. I have read this a lot this week. As most of you know, that when we done a couple study not too long ago on some of our favorite places, we had discussions. It's been a few years ago, I think. We had a discussion a few years ago about our favorite chapters and our favorite verses of the Bible. If most of you will remember, this is my favorite chapter of the entire Bible. It's helped me through so much. It's guided me in difficult situations. And it's one of those chapters that I can read even when it feels like the world is falling apart. And I find great comfort in these words. In Psalms chapter number 3, the Bible says, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say, my soul, there is no help from him in God. Shalom. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hills. Shalom. I laid me down and slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Shalom. Our gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time to come in your house, Father. Oh, Father, we thank you for the singing that we heard, the testimonies that we heard, the laughing that we've had here this morning, Father. Oh, Father, we're just thankful, Lord, once again for giving us breath and these bodies that's made of earthly clay, Father, that we could come into your house to worship you, Father, this morning in spirit and in truth, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs as the Bible tells us. Father, we're thankful for your holy word that it helps lead us and it guides us, and we should allow it to direct every aspect and every point of our lives. Father, we're just so thankful that you sent your only begotten Son into this world to die on a Roman cross, to be buried, and to rise again on the third appointed day. That this no good for nothing Gentile could be rekindled, oh, to the throne room of God. Father, we ask you now, Lord, if you'll just help me and hide me behind your cross. Father, we ask you, Lord, that each heart will be open to the message. Father, if there's one here that's not saved, Father, we ask, Lord, you'll send the Holy Ghost to where they're sitting and put them under the old Holy Ghost conviction, dear Lord. They'll come to know Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late. And Father, we ask, Lord, there'll be no hindrance to the word here this morning. Oh, Father, we just love you and we'll praise you. We'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Can I tell you, as long as a man is alive, he will have troubles. As long as he serves God, he can expect Satan to oppose him and to attack him in many different ways. You see, Christians, those that are saved and those that are redeemed and blood-bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, they will always face oppositions in their efforts to serve the living God. Though Christians face many problems, I can stop right preaching right now, and I can open the floor up, and we can talk about our problems, and we'd be here till the cows come home. And I tell you what, And we'll just sit there and we'll just talk about what all is wrong with our lives. Each one of us has got some problems. Whether you want to admit it or not this morning, there's something that's going on in your life that has cost you a problem. There is somebody that's came against you that's caused you an opposition. Here we find David. I preached out of this last week. If some of you remember, this is found over there in 2 Samuel 15. David's flee from Absalom. I've been stuck on David. I'm telling you, the Lord has really blessed me with not the whole story of David, but just this little part in David's life. I don't know exactly why the Lord keeps pressing this issue with David here, but I'm going to continue going with it until he stops me from pressing this on my heart. But David here is on the flee from his son Absalom. He's had some of those friends. How many of you are thankful for some of those friends that came David's way? Aren't you glad you got some of those?
Amen.
You're blessed if you got some of them. But you're blessed if you got the one true friend, the one that sticketh closer than a brother. But no matter what problems we face, the troubles, the trials, the tribulations, the storms of life, the valleys that we may go through. David said, hey, I know I'm going through a difficult situation here. I know I've done wrong and I know that I deserve what I'm getting. But guess what? I got the Holy God of Israel on my side.
Amen.
You see here, there was a problem David was facing. He said, Lord, how have that increased? He said, increase. That word means to grow. That means David looks around. David, he sees everybody turning their backs on him. Everybody's mad at him. He feels like that they're growing by the day, by the minute. He feels like everything is going wrong. He feels like that he's the most hated person in all of Israel. If you remember very clearly, the Bible says that Absalom had sold the hearts of Israel, the people that loved David, the people that bowed David as king, that loved David as their king, all of a sudden they no longer wanted him as their king. Oh, how that must have hurt David's heart. How it must have really pricked them in it and upset them and made them feel some type of way. If we're honest with each other this morning, there's times in our life where the people that we love the most are the ones that have increased the troubles around our lives. We have been battling uphill. And a lot of times when we're battling those that we love the most. Do you not think that David did not love his son Absalom no matter what he had done? If you read on into the chapters later on, he is weeping, he is crying because of the death of Absalom, the man who had rebelled against him, the one that had hurt him. He still loved his son. Oh, but you know what? It reminds me of over there in John 15. Oh, David may have been hated, but you know what Jesus said about that? If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Do you know that? Jesus warns us. The world is going to hate us because it hated Him. And we're going to have problems because we trust Him. You want to talk about a man that had a lot of problems? Jesus had a lot of problems. But guess what? The difference between us and Him is He passed with flying colors. He was the sinless one.
That's right.
He was the one that every time an opposition came up against him, he had the correct answers. And he knew how to react the correct way. David here is just like me and you. He don't know how to act right now. He's upset. He is on a flee. He's going to the exile. Everybody is just so mad at him. Everybody is so upset at him. I tell you what, people will seek to hinder you in your ministry and in your earthly walk with God. Because as you notice, every time that you feel like you're getting closer to God, somebody comes in and starts trying to rip you away from them. But guess what? Don't allow that situation to pull you farther away from God. But yet what we should do is that we should allow it to move us closer
Amen.
To God.
That's right.
Not every situation in the room is the exact same. But one of the things that I can tell you is now, if you are in a storm in your life like David was here, do not allow it to push you away from God. Embrace the storm and allow it to move you closer to God.
The problem is, as humans, let's be honest with each other this morning, as humans, when we face problems, even with people, it tends to push us away from God. I love what, think of this for a second. If Joseph, the mighty dreamer, would allow his situations to push him away from God, you might as well take Genesis, was like 36 to 52, and rip it out of your Bible because it wouldn't exist. But yet during those times, his brothers, his own flesh and blood, brother Ed, the ones that he loved, the ones that he went down there to feed on a daily basis, the ones he went down there to check on Sister Tammy just to make sure, hey, are you all right? Is everything fine in you? Y'all need this. And then when he go back and report that, hey, they ain't doing nothing but gambling down there and having a good time, and they got mad at him for telling them the truth. And what'd they do? They hurt him. They wanted to kill him. The Bible says that they wanted to kill him. They wanted, his brothers were so mad at him, they wanted to kill him. Guess what Absalom's doing here? Absalom wanted David dead here. His own son. Do you see the trend that this is going in? That some of the oppositions you're going to face in your life is your very own flesh and blood. Your family. And it's going to happen. It's going to hurt you. It's going to cause battles. It's going to cause some division at times. But don't let it divide you from God.
Amen.
Don't let it divide you from God. The people were discouraging him. How many of you have ever been in a situation to where people say, well, if you was living right, God wouldn't be doing that. Well, if you would just read your Bible, God, some of you can read your Bibles till the cows come home, and guess what? You're still going to face opposition. You're going to face discouragement. I don't understand why you're still going to church, going through all that you're going through. How could you want to serve a God that allowed you to go through that? Let me tell you what Joseph said. Let me go back to him real quick. What y'all meant for evil, God meant for good.
That's right.
That's what he said, eh? When his brothers were terrified that he was just going to kill them after their father had passed away. I had to use this the other day. I was talking to somebody about some issues that we was having at work, and they was dealing with this issue, and they asked me what he think about it. And I said, well, you know, I said, when Israel died, I said, the brothers of Joseph thought, you know what they thought? They thought that they was going to kill him. You know what he said? No, I ain't going to kill you. I'm not going to kill you. Because you know what? What all of you thought was doing evil to me, that hole that you dug and threw me in, all them bandages that you put across my wrist and they led me into the land of Egypt. Oh, when I was sitting there and I was tossed into a prison and left there to rot forgotten. All because you done this to me. But guess what? What you wanted to do to me was evil. But what God did was save an entire nation.
Amen.
Because you, he meant it for good.
That's right.
Can I tell you, sometimes you're going to go through things in life that's going to discourage you. But at the end of it, God's going to shine as bright as you've ever seen him. The storm might be so dark that you can't see the stars and you can't see the sun shining through right now. And you can't see anything that's going on. And people are just coming up to you and they're nagging at you and they're discouraging you. And everything you see and everything you hear, it's nothing but a bunch of discouragement to you. And it starts pricking your heart and it starts hardening your heart. And you feel like you just can't go nowhere. You feel like throwing in the towel. But can I tell you what? After the storm is gone, Brother Eddie, oh, there's a bright sunshine.
Amen.
God, the Bible says that weeping may endure for the night, but joy will surely come in the morning. When you're facing this opposition, when you're facing your battles, when you're facing your storm, when you're facing people you love that are constantly discouraging you because you messed up or you fell down somewhere along the way, and guess what? Don't worry about it, because what they meant for evil, God will surely use for good.
That's right. I don't know why, man. Joseph, I'm supposed to be preaching on David.
But we see that they was discouraging him. They was telling him, brother, look what it says right here. How many of you ever heard something along the lines of this? There is no help from him in God. How many people have ever heard that saying that God isn't concerned with your problems? God doesn't care what you're going through. How many of you ever heard something along the lines of that? Like, well, I'm telling you, he's way too busy to worry about somebody as small as you. He ain't worried about what you're going through. He's up there laughing at you. That's what they're yelling at David here. They're like, God don't care. The God you serve, the God you was down there in the fields to praying to, that gave you the strength to beat the lion, that gave you the strength to beat the bear, that gave you the strength to beat Goliath, that gave you the strength to go into countless battles and win the wars and win the battles and still stay undefeated. That God doesn't care about you right now. He's gone. He left you. He exiled you too, just like we have. Just get out of here. He doesn't care about you. Hey. So many times when a Christian faces the opposition, the first person they attack and try to get you to turn against is God Himself, saying He don't care about you. He don't love you the way He says He loves you. I was reading this thing the other day. Some of you may have seen it, but there was this woman. She was about to starve to death. Her pantry was empty. And she would pray every day that the Lord would fill her pantry. Lord, fill my pantry. Lord, will you fill my pantry? No. She said, one day she went to go pray. She heard a ring at the door. She said, Lord, will you fill my pantry? She got to know there was food sitting on her steps. And she said, God did it. God did it. God did it for me. Oh, He's done it for me. God's done it for me. Praise God. God's done it for me.
Amen.
All of a sudden, her atheist neighbor jumped out of the bushes and said, God didn't do that. I did. He said, I went to the bushes, I got the bushes, and I went in there and I prayed for the food, and I put it on your doorstep, all to show you that there, God does not care about you. There is no God. Mm-hmm. She said, God did it, God did it, God did it, God did it. He said, woman, you're not listening to me. I paid for this. I done it. This was me. Old woman looked at him and she said, God did it. He made the devil pay for it. Listen, I tell you right now, there's certain things that you have to realize in your life that you're going to go through, that God will allow you to go through, but He'll allow goodness to come out of it. Guess what? Even though we're so small, God's still so big.
Amen.
Even though we don't have a lot going on and we feel so small sometimes and we feel out of place sometimes and we feel like the whole world is just looking around us and we're no good and everybody's saying we need to stop serving God and just move away from it and just get away from serving God, there is a God that is holy, there's a God that is righteous, there's a God that is loving and caring, that lives on the inside of you, and if something that big is living in someone this small, He's got to show some way.
Amen.
Some of you are sitting here this morning wondering if God really does care about you. Can I answer that real quick? Absolutely. He loves you.
Amen.
Bible said, for God so loved.
Amen.
The world. That means you. You can interpret this, brother. For God so loved it. He sent His only begotten Son in the world. Whosoever believes in Him shall not perish. That's right. Each one of us can hold claim that God does care about you, that He does love you, that He wants you to succeed, that He wants you to grow. And guess who knew that? The King of Israel said, guess what? Nope. He said, but thou. Oh, when all those people were yelling, God don't care about you. God don't care about you. All those people were yelling at Him, saying, God don't care about you. The psalmist said, but thou, O Lord, art a shield. Oh, He was the protection of David.
Amen.
Every battle that Davis rode in, God was there with him. Did you know? Notice what the Lord says. Notice how God is our shield. He protects us. He is This is something that blew my mind the first time I've ever read it. That He's my shield. He protects me. He not only protects me from the front, but He's got me from the two sides. And He covers my back when those fiery darts are coming through. And even in those times when those fiery darts get through the shield, because I let my guard down, He's still my shield.
Amen.
Oh, but this blew my mind, Sister Debbie. The next part of this blew my mind, Brother Ed. Bible says He's my glory. Oh, think about the glory of God. He shares it with no man. Oh, but He said, I love David. He said, I love you enough, David, that I'll be your glory.
Amen.
That I'll be your glory. David, I want to shine on your life, David. I want to lift your head up and I want to shine on your life. Now, if God says, all these people are yelling at you, but I'm your shield, I'm your glory, I'm the lifter up of your head, this, what an encouragement it should be to every Christian that's sitting in the room that might be going through a valley, that might be going through a storm, that might be hitting rock bottom right now, just trying to figure out which way to go, that God said that I am your shield, I am your glory, and I will lift your head up when you drop it down, because I love you and I care for you because you are mine. If you're saved, guess what? You are His, and He is yours, and there ain't nothing, absolutely nothing you can do about it. Oh, He's the psalmist. What He was encouraging him. God encourages us in many ways. Did you know that? Sometimes He is our only encouragement. Some of you will catch that later. I want to say that again. Sometimes He is our only encouragement. The psalmist had called upon the Bible says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. And I don't think the next part says, and He turned a deaf ear to me. I don't think that it says, and He wasn't on His throne. I don't think that it says that He got somebody hit the button to send you straight to voicemail. But what it says was, and He heard me from, He heard me out of His holy hill. You know what He says next? He says, Shalom. He says, stop for a moment, pause, and take it all in. Because God just done something only He can do. Did you know that? Even in your darkest hours, when you feel like nobody is around, nobody cares for you, the Lord said, David, I hear you. David, I heard you when you was a shepherd in the fields. David, I heard you the day that you was going to feed your brothers. David, I heard you the day that you cried out with a loud voice and you washed the sackcloth off of you. You took your sackcloth off. You shaved and you washed the ashes off of it. He said, David, I heard you then. David, I hear you now. Can I be real with y'all just for 1 second? Sometimes it takes the darkest of valleys, the biggest storm, to get us to realize that our prayer lives are horrible. Sometimes it takes the darkest of nights that we feel like are never going to end for us to realize we need to get closer to God. David said, I could picture David now as he's sitting there and all these people are just fussing and yelling. And this is probably days before. I don't think he wrote this on his way out. I think when he finally stopped, he realized what was going on. He wanted to pin it down. By the way, check this one out for a fact about this song. This is the first hymn in the Hebrew hymn book. That hymn. that song. It's the first hymn. Do you know why? Because it shows the glory and the power of God all in one. When everybody else is against you, you cry out to Him. Guess what? Bam! There He is. He's still listening.
Do you know a Buddhist can't say that? Do you know a Muslim can't say that?
They pray a whole lot more than we do, and ain't nobody even listening. I'm telling you, sometimes we need to realize that God is still in the praying business. He's still answering our prayer. You say, Brother Josh, it sure don't feel like it. Don't stop. Keep praying. Don't give up. Keep praying. Don't say, I can't pray for that anymore. Keep praying. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Over there in Matthew, it says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Hey, God still answers prayers. I'm living proof. I'm standing right here and I'm telling you right now, most of y'all don't know, but man, I'm not even going to go into that. But can I tell you right now that I am 100% a product of prayer. I got a praying wife. Out of a difficult situation. I got a miracle sitting right behind you, Brother Ed. God still answers prayers. He's still in the praying. He's still picking up that heavenly tail. Brother Mays, he used to say that his mama, when everything was going wrong, she'd go in there to the woodshed where they had a little room where she can go in and sit down and pray, and she'd come out shouting. Everybody, what is she shouting about? She said, I just heard from heaven. And everything's going to be all right. You know, sometimes it doesn't hurt to allow God to break your heart, to squeeze it, to allow the tears to start flowing down like rain, and you go deep into prayer with Him, a prayer that only He can understand. You can't say it to nobody else because He's the one that needs to hear it. And guess what? Sometimes you have to realize that it's okay to be broken. Most of us don't want to be broken. But it's okay to be broken. It's okay to cry. It's okay to come down to an altar and just let the tears just start flowing like the rain. But the problem is we don't want to be broken. Because you know what happens when you get broken? God changes you. When you allow Him to break you, He will change you. When you allow Him to just break who you are, your self-will, allow His will to be in your life, He will change you. And guess what? After this moment, after this time in David's life, guess what? David becomes a changed man. There's evidence of that, and I won't go into that this morning. But there's evidence that David was a changed man after this. Was he still bitter? Yes. You'll find that over in 1 Kings, he was still bitter. David died a bitter man. But he changed after this. Sometimes it takes you crying out to God, asking God to help you, asking God to guide you, asking God to encourage you, and God will still hear and answer your prayers. But a lot of times, I'm going to get stuck on this, but a lot of times, we pray selfish prayers instead of righteous and holy prayers to a living God. A lot of times we go straight into prayer. We thank Him for absolutely nothing He's done for us. And we go straight into what we want. It don't hurt sometimes just to stop and say, Lord, thank you.
That's right.
Thank you. And you want to know if me sitting with Cole on Fridays listening to these messages are helping me out? If this ain't evidence how I've been preaching, then you just ain't paying attention. We cried for help.
Bang.
And you know where we found it at?
Right there.
Amen.
This is where you find the help. Right here. This is your biggest helper right here. This will teach you how to pray. This will teach you what to long for. This will teach you the will of God. Most of our prayers aren't getting answered because we're living on the outside of the will of God, praying for stuff we want, not what we need. Praying for things. David said here, he said, I cried out when he heard me. You know the only reason he heard David? It's because David had just realized, I'm slapping the will of God right now. You remember I read it last week. If God don't want me to come back, then I ain't coming back. But if God wants me here, I'll be back on my throne eventually. Sometimes you have to allow Him to break you. Have to give Him everything. Allow Him to just tear you apart and remake you. Something better than you was when you came in those doors. The problem is, a lot of us come in, we sit on these pews, and we leave the exact same way we came in. You didn't get anything. Because it's not it should be a change. It should be a change. Miss Amy, I know you got a long set that says Bible time. You should change every time you pick that Word of God up and read it. There should be some change in your life. You should learn something new. You should move closer to God during those hours. Then not only when you get done reading it, ma'am, you should meditate on what you just read. Then you know what you should do? You should cry out to the Holy God, the Lord. Sometimes I'm being honest. Sometimes I read my Bible and I don't know why God led me there. And I don't know if you like this or not. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, I don't know why you sent me there. I had no idea what I just read. But I want to meditate on it. Help me understand it. Help me grow closer to you by understanding what you want me to understand.
Cole woke. God woke Cole up.
2:00 in the morning the other morning. He left me asleep, praise the Lord. Woke her up at 2:00 in the morning to hear a message about a withered hand. And what God can do with a man with a withered hand, only if he stretches it forth. Stretches it forth. Then she said to me, and I listened to it about 14 hours later. Said this right here. And I'll move on to my next point. He said this right here. We all have a good hand. We all have a good hand. Most of us, God, Jesus, but He didn't tell them what hand to stretch out. If you go read it, He never tell them what hand to stretch out. He said, stretch forth thy hand. Most of us will have. There's a good hand, God. There it is. I told you I was fine. There it is. You know what this man done? He took that withered hand and put it out there. That's it. Only you can change. You know what the problem is? David realized this here too. He can't fix his own situation.
That's right.
The problem is we try to fix our own situation. We try to fix everything in our lives. And we try to do everything the way we think it should be. But in reality, if we would just cry out to God and ask Him for help, we'll realize that we can't do that alone.
Let's move on. And the Bible says that there's a peace that's found here in this chapter. Verses 5 and 6 says, I laid me down to sleep.
Some of y'all get that later.
This man is on the run for his very life. Think about that, man. He is on the run for his very life. He has enough faith.
That's right.
He has enough faith to know that God's got everything under control. Now, I'm going to give me a peaceful night's sleep.
That's right.
You know why some of us don't get peaceful night's sleep? Because we don't have the faith that we're supposed to have. King God. Now, if King David If the record is recorded, which it is in the scripture, King David is on the run for his very life. Is that correct? Y'all all know that? That he is on the run for his very life yet again? And this man says, you know what? I'm tired. I'm wore out. And I'm sleepy. God, you got it. Good night.
Amen.
Good night. I bet you some of the people around here was like, what is wrong with him? How could you sleep at such a time like this? David said, I got faith God's going on. God's going to make it all right. He said, I'll awaken for the Lord. So David wasn't worried about even dying in his sleep. You know why? Because he said, God got me.
That's right.
Cole said, all the time, why don't you ever worry about anything? God got me.
That's right.
Have I been heartbroken? Absolutely. Have I been felt like I've been drugged down to the depths of hell and had to crawl my way back up with his help? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, as I said, I am his and he is mine.
Amen.
He's got me. He has me. He's got you. You just have to put your faith in him. Bible says that faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The Bible tells us to walk by faith, not by sight. But so many of us are trying to walk by the sight of our very own eyes that we forgot that sometimes that we have to step out in faith and make a decision and go with it because that's where God lets you. And David said, this is my fault. I did this to myself. This ain't Brother Eddie's fault. This ain't Cole's fault. This ain't my daddy's fault. I did this to myself.
Amen.
But at the end of the day, God, I know you got me. Got me. But hold on to me. Bible says you're going to reach down. You're going to reach down with your right hand of righteousness and you're going to lift me back up. This is the same psalmist that said that he was buried in the miry clay that God lifted him up.
Amen.
And set his feet on the right path. That's the God I have faith in today. That's the God. I have faith in the God who wrote the rules of nature, like I said earlier, that Jesus walked on water, that Jesus defied the wind. And he said, you know what? I have control over this. You can't do anything while these winds are beating you down, while these storms are breaking you up. You can't do any of that. But I know the overruler.
Amen.
And he woke up, and the Bible says that he rebuked. Ain't that what it says, Brother? They rebuke the winds and the seas. Peace.
Peace.
Be still. David said, I ain't got no problem going to sleep with that. He's on my side.
That's right.
The creator of heaven and earth is on my side. The one that asked Job, where was you at when I formed the foundations of the world? He's on my side. The one that breathed the little living soul into Adam's nostrils, that God is on my side.
Amen.
You know if you're lost, you can't say that today. Mm-hmm. If you don't know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you can't say that today.
Amen.
You can't say that God's on my side. You know what the Bible teaches us, those that are lost are the enemy, God. But David said, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Didn't you hear what he's saying right there? He said, no matter who comes against me, thousands, millions, trillions, gazillions, if that's a word. Okay. Look it up on that. That's it. He said, I don't care how many you set against me. I don't care how many oppositions. I don't care how many fiery darts come my way. Guess what? That God's on my side. I'm not going to be defeated.
Amen.
David didn't say that I won't fall. But you know what he said? I will not be defeated. So many of us are falling. With the God as big as He is around us. And we just constantly just keep falling. And the only thing we do is got to reach out and say, Lord,
amen.
You help me. I've tried this on my own, and I have failed miserably. Oh, but look at the power. I've been speaking on His power the whole time, but look at His power. David wrote this in verse number 7. He says, Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. Ain't one of those that some of y'all say, oh my God, this was David. And sincere, saying, that's my God. My God has that power. My God can do that. My God is all powerful. He's all knowing. He is everywhere at all the time. He's not just with me up here behind this pulpit, but He's back there on the very last row with my daddy. I'm talking about He is with me always. And guess what? David made it personal. Help me. Help me. Lord, You can save me from this exile. Lord, You can save me from my rebellious son. Lord, You can save me from the people who have turned against me like Zima. Lord, You can save me through all of this. Because David knew. Verse number 8 says, He wrote it. It's in the holy word of God, so I believe He said it. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people.
Amen.
I believe that. Now, could you imagine when David got done writing this and he went over to his chief musician and he said, Here, I wrote this for you during the time of exile. And all that he was going through. What a testimony. What a testimony that had to be for David and all that he was going through. He penned a beautiful hymn that touches this 33-year-old's heart every time he reads it. Thousands of years ago, this was written by a man who was on the run. A man who had put himself in one of the most difficult situations he had ever been in. But during that time, when he finally sat down, I believe he was probably in a cave somewhere. When he finally sat down, he said, Why am I even worried? Because salvation of the Lord. You know, I wrote this in my Bible and I wrote it underneath this song. And this is what it says. It says, I am saved by God's grace in Christ Jesus because salvation belongeth to the Lord.
Amen.
The same man who wrote this song a little while down the road, as a matter of fact, is 20 chapters later. He's the one that said, The Lord is my shepherd. Now, I don't know. Nobody really knows when Psalms 23 was written. They can't pinpoint it. No historian has been able to pinpoint it. No theologian has been able to pinpoint it. No doctor of the Scripture has been able to pinpoint it. Do you know why I believe that is? Because we don't need to know when it was written. Just for incidents like this right here, that same man who wrote this said, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Did you know that? He knew it. Today, I don't know what you're going through in your life. You might be facing an uphill battle. You might be going through a storm or some valley. Cry out to God. And ask Him to save you. Ask Him to help you out.
I can promise you this much. He will show up.
That's right.
And when he moves on the scene, it'll be brighter than you've ever seen it. The Lord is my helper. He's my guidance. Even when we fall, He is still holy. He is still righteous. And He is still right by my side.
Amen.
If you'd like to come this morning, I want you to come. Some of us need some help. Some of us need to realize that I can't do this on my own anymore, Lord. I need You. There's situations that's going on in our lives. It might be with our kids. It might be with our grandkids. It might be something that's going on in your life that you have to say, Lord, I need Your help. I've done this on my own long enough. Lord, I need You. Won't You come? Won't You come this morning? The Lord's been good to us. Find you a place on the altar. Find you a place in your seats and say, Lord, I need Your help. Because don't we all need Him this morning? He's been so good to us. And if a man like David can find the help that he needs, so can you. With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, I want to ask you a question.